Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Hour of Truth. We have some folks with us today. We've got Philip Walthall. How are you doing, Phil?
Doing well. Thank you.
We've got Bradley Capshaw.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Pleasure to be here.
Okay. Didn't really answer the question, but that's all right. James Uessler, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Rick, and hope you all are as well.
Thank you. Outstanding. And we have a special guest that's going to join us as well. Karen, how you doing, Karen?
Doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, oh, hey. Try that again.
Hello. Doing well.
Hello. Hey, welcome this morning. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
You sing louder than you talk. So make sure when you're talking, you're on the mic like I am.
Okay. Is That'll be better?
Yeah, that's better. Okay. Thank you. Okay, guys. Phil? It's all yours, man. Take it away.
Da, 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 da.
Please stop.
Is that please right, well, for the love of God and all things that is good and righteous? Please stop. Is that what that was?
I don't know. I just wanted to stop.
Okay.
That might have been the 2x4 stop.
It worked.
Well, good evening. It was nice to hear.
Real quick, Phil, on your end, is Sam up on Paul's computer?
No, it's not. Okay. I don't think it is. I don't believe it is.
That's all right. I just got an error on my encoder trying to disconnect and reconnect, but it looks like it's stable now. Just if his was on too, it may be on a timer trying to kick in or something. I'll keep an eye on it, let you know.
Okay. I don't see it up. I hope it's all not right, up. Cool. Me, I know it. I really enjoyed I came in about 11:30, listening to some of what you were saying there, Rick, on some things. And the thing that you were saying about the froward heart, and what comes out of the abundance. What comes out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And in that sense of always kind of having an answer back, and that kind of in that vein, always having an answer back and or trying to justify yourself or whatever the case may be, it shows you where you're at if you're doing that. And it's really just high-mindedness and pride. And the Lord's not doing that. He wants you to grow and be successful in Him. And that was a kind of an interesting point that you made there. In that sense, I thought that was just a good point. So.
Yeah, having to have the last word is a bad sign, I think.
It's not just the last word, Brad. It's just having to answer back. And look, you know how I know this doesn't work? You know how I know this is bad?
Because you've been through it.
I've got a doctorate degree in being froward, okay? If there was a degree beyond a doctorate, I've got that one.
Wild, higher, and deeper.
I get it. I understand it. I know how destructive it is on the other side. I know how destructive the bitterness is. I'm going to get where I can see Karen.
I just moved over here so you could see me.
There we go. I know how utterly destructive it is to yourself and your walk with God to have that in your heart. It just doesn't work. And it's not just having the last word. It's really just having a word that's always contrary. Now, there's a difference between... I didn't say this during the service, although I thought of it, but I don't want to soften the significance of the point. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
If you have a heart to serve and you see something that may be beneficial to the situation, to bring that up, well, that's a good thing. But to be contrary and negative and argumentative, and not willing to see what you're being told to do, that's that frowardness. And if you lived at the ranch, all you got to do is hang out at Dad's table for a while, and it's like the froward train of existence. Because he'll give an instruction, and there's always an answer back why it's not going to work.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this to be mean. It's just you there, you see it. It just happened. It is, everybody's got a better idea, a better opinion, better way to do it, etc. And instead of just doing what they're asked to do with a joyful heart, there's always that reason it can't be done. And that's what really frustrates, I know it frustrates Brother Davey. And I know that when we do it to our disciples, which is doing it to the Lord, it frustrates the Lord. Go ahead, Karen.
There's a thing that I thought of when you were just speaking, Rick, and that's doing it with a joyful heart is going to really bring you through doing it with a joyful heart and knowing you're serving the Lord no matter what you're doing. You look to Him and you serve Him. And there's a thing of doing it with a resentful heart. And that's going to just damage you. It's not going to help you at all. It brings you down. You get that bitterness into your heart that you don't want to have. So you got to make that choice to make it a thing that I'm going to serve you, Lord, and I'm going to do it joyfully. And you've got to make that decision because that's important, I've found. It really makes a difference.
Yeah.
And it really does. And, you know, being at that the workplace, I was actually talking with Brad last night a little bit about it. And I remember there's been some things that were given for us managers to do. And I remember in my heart going, man, you know, I it's about how to do these emails. And I'm thinking, man, that takes all this time. That does this. That keeps me from this. And I can make every excuse underneath the sun. And the only person that was in really what you're talking about is submission and just being obedient there, Karen, on that front, too. And I remember going through that. Man, that takes so much time. But, you know, it was just amazing when I just realized I was wrong. It's not my business how they want it answered. It's how they want it answered. What's it to me?
This way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I can make a choice to do it joyfully and do it. And it was amazing. You know, I turned around, repented of where I was, which we talked about recognizing I was dead wrong where I was, and the attitude I was carrying was dead wrong and where I was, and turned around and started doing that. All of a sudden, we're getting all kinds of sales from the emails. It's an amazing thing. Amazing thing.
Sales from emails, I don't follow.
Yeah, well, there's emails that go through putting a quote request for tire sales. They wanted it broken down a certain way. And when I changed my mind, I turned around, repented, and started doing it. And it was amazing, the amount of sales that we started getting through. Sets of four, sets of four, sets of four.
Oh, I got it.
Coming through the shop and the sales. I don't believe it would have turned out that way if I would have remained in that froward, rebellious state.
Well, the mindset that you had is that you knew better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the truth is that they probably paid some marketing guys that know marketing, that know better than you do.
Yep.
At a much higher pay grade than you, to come up with a way to do that more efficiently. And
absolutely.
If you're willing to accept that maybe I don't know better and maybe this will work, and then do it with the right attitude, and then look what happens. And there's what you touched on something, Phil. There's obedience and there's submission, right?
Right.
Okay. The key, if you want to know where you are in that, if you're not talking, can you mute your mic? James, I don't know if you've got stuff going on around you, but there's a lot of background noise. Maybe not be you, James. Maybe somebody else. If you want to know where your heart's at, do you want it to succeed? See, if you've submitted, truly submitted, then when you go to do that which you've been asked to do, that Maybe you didn't jive. Maybe you didn't understand it. Maybe it didn't make sense. Maybe you think, well, gosh, maybe I don't know. But if you really submit, when you go to do it, your heart is that it will succeed.
Yeah, that obedience.
Amen. Absolutely.
The difference between that obedience and that submission is that obedience is doing what somebody tells you to do. Submission is doing it with a grateful heart, I think. Am I right, Rick?
Yes.
It's that attitude change. And so the submission is, in that way, better than the obedience, even still better.
Yeah. James, you want to hop in here? Go ahead.
Well, this reminds me of two things, and it's really boils down to, Rick, something that we've talked a lot about, and that's perspective. And if your perspective and your mindset is to serve the Lord, then it doesn't matter. You just do what you're told. You know, I mean, I believe, wasn't it the conference that your dad, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. If we're told to do something, just do it. We don't need to have our own perspective. Let's put on the mind of Christ and trust through faith that we're doing what's right.
Yep.
And, you know, it kind of reminds me of just
perspective.
Mm-hmm. Right. You don't have to know how any of this is going to work. You don't have to know how the electricity works, but you can go over there and turn on the light switch and you're confident that that light's going to come on. And there's a level of faith in that where you expect it to succeed. I mean, when you submit on the Lord, you expect it to succeed. You just expect it's going to happen. And you submit to it, and you're grateful for it. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, you were talking about a grateful heart there, Karen. And I can remember there was some advice that Steve gave me, and it really, I felt like I was between a rock and a hard place, and I really didn't know which way to go. And when I did one thing one way, it lacked on the other end. I did one thing the other way, it lacked on the other end. And I really was, it was just like between a rock and a hard place. It was real tough. But when we talked and I talked about this issue I was having with him, and I really talked, when he gave me that advice of how to go forward in that, and he didn't even know how this advice came about, wasn't like he knew it before we started talking about it. It was as we talked about it, this came out. And when I got it, I mean, I was like excited. I mean, I was praising the Lord and rejoicing. And I haven't even started going and doing that advice yet. I was just, I knew that this was good. And this nailed it on all fronts. And it was a perfect, simple solution that the Lord had provided. And guess what? It has been a blessing, and not just to me, but for everybody around me. It really has been. And see, that's where you receive that.
And
receive
that fix.
What's that?
It was a very simple fix.
It was.
It was on your, what did they do, walk around the car and check for?
Well, that was one thing. There was a couple other instances similar like that. There's one actually instance I'm talking about is different than that, but it was a very simple solution. And see, that's where you submit, and that's where you receive. And I know kind of chatting around with Steve some, it does kind of tie in also to where you submit yourself unto the Lord. And Rick, you were talking about submitting yourselves unto your disciples. Is you submitting unto the Lord? You actually receive his faith. Because, you know, our faith wavers. We talked about that. But that's the place where you actually receive his faith. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, you read Ephesians, it talks about one faith. You read in other areas where he's talking about the faith of Jesus Christ, not many. But one, and that's the faith of Jesus Christ you receive. I'm done.
Well, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking the word simplicity keeps coming up. And the stuff, like, you know, I've heard Davey preach. You know, people say, oh, serving the Lord's so hard. It's really, you have to make your mind up what you want to do. And once that's in place, like reading in Isaiah this morning about John the Baptist, the message was pretty simple. Prepare the way of the Lord. You know, it's a message of repentance. And a repentance not just in a moment, but a repentance you walk in. It's a pretty simple thing. If that's in place, then to be able to receive what we're told, you know, through the Spirit, through people, whatever, it's not so difficult. I think, you know, I speak for myself, you know, I can complicate things. But this stuff is really pretty easily understood. It's more a matter of, you know, what do you want? What are you willing to do?
That's true, Brad. It comes down to a choice. And that's absolutely what that's what you're getting to, is you have to choose that. Yes, it's simple, but it can be very hard if you're not going to choose it, because it's not going to be possible unless you choose it.
And once the choice is in place, the other things follow behind it, and that's the pathway to peace, which is what we seek.
Yeah, and that choice, I mean, that's actually recognized too, because we can say we've made that choice. But when we come to those instances where we're, you know, we're justifying ourselves, or where we're, you know, being froward and replying back, and, you know, all those things, when we're in that place, it shows us we haven't made that choice. We thought we've made that choice, but we have not made that choice, because look what's coming out. I'm actually rebelling against the thing that's put in front of
you. You have the initial choice to serve Christ, but you still have this dead man strapped to you. And that's why repentance is something that we walk in, like we walk in faith, and it, the two have to accompany each other. As long as we're
I look at it this way, Brad. Maybe you guys can get the analogy. Maybe you guys can refine it, correct it. You know, if you sign, and Brad, you were in the military, when you sign the dotted line to join the Navy,
right?
Did you sign that line every day, or did you sign it once?
One time.
Okay, and then from that point forward, it was your choice to be a profitable servant and sailor to the United States, or an unprofitable one?
Well, that depended on the day.
Right, but it was your choice what you were going to be. Today I'm going to do my job, answer my, I don't know who your next, you know, I don't know the line of chain of command, so to speak, in the Navy so much. But, I mean, if you go to the Army, you sign the line, you go to boot camp, You drill sergeant beats you down, they build you back up, and then there's this chain of command, and you're not every day going back to the recruitment office signing the dotted line to be in the Army again.
Right.
And I look at repentance. When you repent, you've joined the military.
That's right. It's an enlistment.
Okay, so you have chosen to serve the Lord. Now, that point forward, you have to maybe choose. Again, are you going to go AWOL, or are you going to stick with it? And if you're going to stick with it, how is your service going to be while you're in it? Because I did not know this. I mean, I was completely unaware that I thought that once you go to the military, they were so desperate for people that you go in and you just got a job for life. But I didn't realize that if you actually don't graduate, or since if you don't get promoted within a period of time, they can choose to not extend you the option to reenlist. Did you know that?
That's right. It happened a lot under Bill Clinton. Yeah.
I had no clue that you could lose your job from being in the military, essentially.
So there was an accountability.
Yeah, and they expected you to progress and move forward and become, you know, get to a leadership position because they expected you to be able to teach and train other people. That was an expectation. That wasn't just something you got to it if you meant
it. It wasn't a wave of magic wand, there you are.
Yeah, I mean, it was something they expected you to sort of march forward and do your duty. And I think in the Lord you have the same thing. If you sign the dotted line and you've enlisted, you don't sign it every day.
No.
You walk in that choice. And so, the idea that we've repented, we've asked the Lord for forgiveness. Now, throughout our lives and as we move forward, there's times where our service wanes. Doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's not like we got kicked out, but we have to choose to change our direction, get back into the fold and move in the right direction again. Does that make any sense?
It does.
Yeah, that's what Paul Muller always says. We kick each other back into play. And that's a right function of the body. So we maintain fellowship with believers and stay in discipleship and hear the word. And we have every opportunity and really the likelihood that these things will be corrected. It doesn't have to be something that we struggle with indefinitely.
It reminds me of what Brother Davey has said in recent years, is that the Lord expects us to not stay where we are, but to graduate, not be a student all our lives on this stuff, and move forward.
Yeah.
Amen.
And the minute you move forward, the minute you move forward and start walking in some of that, and you have responsibilities for other people, you will get a very keen understanding of just how frustrating you were to your authorities when those under you are being just like you were. It does two things. It gives you, if you see it from the right perspective, you can realize, okay, that's what I was like. And understand that they can come out of it too and have hope for them and move them through it. But you do get a keen, very keen sense of, wow, that's what that's like.
Amen. And there's a process. I mean, you're talking about the kind of in Hebrews, then the chastening of the Lord, and the end all is the, but it brings a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And, I look at that as like a process of where just like heating up the gold and getting those impurities.
Yeah, you get that dross off the top. It gets better. It gets better.
And that process, because man, we're some messed up sons of guns when we come to the Lord. I mean, we are screwed up.
There's a lot of head nodding going on over here.
And what happens is the Lord gives you opportunity after opportunity, like you said, to get shed of the garbage that keeps you back from growing in Him and knowing Him. So I really like that song, teach me thy ways, O Lord, show me thy past, teach me thy ways, O Lord, yeah, and show me thy past, is because it's something that He's faithful. He does that. He's doing that on a daily basis. Whether we receive it or not is can be in question, but He's faithful. He does give us opportunity every day to learn His ways.
And He's not disappointed. Another point that Paul Muller hit many times, the Lord can be pleased. We don't disappoint Him. He understood at the jump. He knew what He was dealing with, what we are. And we find ourselves, sometimes struggling with the same issue over a period of time, and we can keep going back to Him. The idea is He's in it for our good. He understood coming in what we are. And even as believers, we're still, shackled to a fallen flesh. And he's good. He's faithful. He's right ready to forgive, right ready to bring us to the next level. We should have a fear of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. But not a fear that He won't faithfully, lovingly deal with us. That's like in Isaiah 40 this morning, you know, he will, like a shepherd, you know, picks up a lamb, or like a shepherd leads his flock. That's the Lord we serve. I am really not hearing much from Georgia here. What's going on with that?
Well, sometimes you just don't have anything to say. Sometimes it's, you know, sometimes the horse is dead. You don't need to beat it. Sometimes the horse is just dead. You don't need to beat it anymore. So, is there anything else anybody wants to talk about today? I mean, anything?
I want to know what you were hunting. You said you went hunting. What were you hunting?
Well, four of us guys, two camera guys, and me and my buddy Cecil, we went to the Big Boquias Ranch in Seligman, and we were getting footage for our show, so we took a bunch of air guns up, and we were popping prairie dogs, sort of like long-range whack-a-mole, if you can imagine. You sort of sit there and wait for the little head to pop up, and you go, whack them all.
Don't eat a prairie dog, do you? They carry bubonic plague.
Yeah, no. No, in fact, what it is this is a huge cattle ranch. It's about 1 million acres or so, or just under. And so these prairie dogs, they absolutely destroy the fields. And they lose a lot of cattle to the prairie dogs because they step in the hole, pop their leg, and that's it. So
you're getting rid of varmints.
Yeah, essentially.
Sounds delightful.
It was a lot of fun. We had a good time.
All right, one more and I'll let you go. You using a 177 or a 22?
Oh, no, no. I was using, yesterday, mostly I was using a 35 cal big bore air gun. Used a 35 cal, 25 cal, and a 30 cal yesterday.
Dang.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm done. I just had to know.
Anybody else want to talk about something? I mean, gosh, we've got half an hour left. We don't have to stretch it out. Like I said, you know, if we've killed the horse, we don't need to beat it. We get the point. We get the point that a froward mouth is bad, that rebellion is bad, that pride and arrogancy is all bad. And, you know, you can look through Scripture and it's very clear, you put that off. That's the old man. That's the carnal nature. You put that off and you put on the mind of Christ. When you do that, you know, James, you talk about perspective. Really putting on the mind of Christ is just choosing that right perspective. And when you do that, man, things change. Things absolutely change.
And when you fail to do that repeatedly, what we find is the character of the Lord we serve. I just have to hit it again. Because it's so easy to, as the years turn into decades and we struggle and fail to, it's easy to find ourselves in a bit of a pit. And that pit's not for us. That's a lie.
You know, one of the things, Brad, that gets us into that place is, you said you like to make things complicated.
I didn't say that. You said that.
No, I thought you were saying that earlier today. You weren't saying that you like to make things complicated?
No, it's a true statement, but no, go ahead.
You know, the grace of God is very simple. The love of God is very simple. When we start tacking on, you know, addendums and appendices and amendments to all of that, for whatever reason, I'm trying to understand it in our own intellect. Look, you know, you go look at that scripture where it says His ways are beyond our ways, or His ways are higher than our ways. You know that scripture?
Sure.
If I'm not, sure. I mean, I may be incorrect, but I believe that the perspective of that passage is talking about God's forgiveness. You can go look at it's like Isaiah somewhere, so maybe Isaiah 55 or in that area, but I think it's in that where he's talking about, we just don't fathom how he can do it.
Because we couldn't do it.
You mean that scripture that says our ways are not his ways?
Yeah, his ways are higher than ours.
Yeah, that's Isaiah 55.
And, you know, that's okay. Our natural man doesn't understand the things of God, but we can understand the spiritual things of God if we walk in the Spirit and we put on that mind of Christ. It's not an unattainable thing. It is perfectly attainable, and it's perfectly reachable, and we can walk and live in that. I mean, yes, we are strapped to this. We are strapped to this old carnal man, but it only has power over us that we give it to have power over us with. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
Yeah, don't take the phone calls, what somebody used to tell me.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, these things that we struggle and get tied up in. If you look at the word diligence, and it's something, diligence is that thing you're paying attention to, and it's a quick paying attention to. It's not like, you know, I've got some projects that I have in work that I don't particularly care for, like everybody does, right? If I'm diligent and they need to be done in the first week of the month, then diligence would be that I get those things done promptly. You know, if I'm not diligent, I just sort of put blinders on, ignore them, pretend I don't see them. And then, you know, at the end of the month, I still have them due. Now I'm late.
You got trouble.
It doesn't change it. You know, if we know that these things are contrary to our walk with the Lord, and we know that they're going to impact us negatively, we know that they're not pleasing, we know all these things, and really the diligent thing to do is just put them aside. Recognize they're wrong, repent, be done with them. And when you can do that, then that flesh, that carnal man, it stops having control over you. It's no longer what's driving the car.
Yeah.
It may be there, but it's not driving the car. Mm-hmm. When, Karen, I'm sure this week there's times you hit a wall of frustration.
Several times.
Yeah, and when you hit the wall of frustration, you could continue being frustrated, throw your hands up, beat the thing, throw the sewing machine through the window. There's all kinds of choices you had. You know, Phil, when you said something, I had this image. When you said you were between a rock and a hard place?
Yeah.
And I had this image of, you know, a rock and a hard place and you being squished between it. And you know, when you're between a rock and a hard place, you still have an infinite number of choices.
I'm listening.
A cube, let's just say it's a box. A cube has how many sides?
Six.
Eight.
Eight. Well, oh, it's six.
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 Six sides.
Okay. Oh,
two,
okay.
And four around. So if you got something on the front and on the back, how many ways can you still go?
Six.
Four. Boy, math is good.
Oh, my math is terrible.
Wow, now I know why the bag's all out of cattywampus, Karen.
You got it. And not to interrupt, but I am interrupting, so I'm interrupting.
Go for it.
But the choice for me on that bag was not to throw the sewing machine or anything like that. It was to go back to the Lord and ask him, please help me with this. I don't know what to do. I am stuck. I don't have the knowledge of how to do this, and you do. So I yield unto you, Lord, to give me that, quicken me to whatever it is that I am doing wrong, and show me the right way.
Yeah.
And he's done it. He's not let me down. I mean, the sewing was fun.
Yeah.
And once I did that, but if I choose to get frustrated, oh boy.
You know, the frustration is only going to lead to the negative.
Oh yeah.
And why do you want to be there?
I don't.
And but it's, you know, for this thing, it was this project that was sewing, and Phil, it may be, you know, sending an email in a certain way at work, or Brad, it may be, who knows what. For Brad, it may be, you know,
shoe time's tough.
I mean, who knows what it might be. James, it may be, you know, dealing with, you know, between work and trying to balance all the things, trying to get out to Texas and all the other things. It may be all different things. I mean, we all have different things going on in our life that would tend to frustration if we put our faith and we put our trust in ourselves. But when we put that in the Lord, and see, to do that means you don't take yourself too seriously. You go back to that, you know, word message today. It's when we think we have to do it, we have to control it, we have to understand it, we have it has to be our way, this way, that, it just has to be, we have to have our own, you know, that's all you taking yourself too seriously.
And with me this week, it's been a really good exercise because it's been me realizing I can do nothing. I have no control over this thing. And I came into it knowing that. But going back to the Lord and asking him for help. And he's not let me down on this thing.
No, I'm actually really pleased with how this has come along. And it's, I mean, we're so close to having that, you know, that. And it's, look, we have one roadblock after another. We didn't know what we were going to run into, Karen. We didn't know what sort of difficulties, or the machine didn't want to do this, or, you know, that thread didn't want to do that, or, goodness, this is too small or too big. I mean, we don't know. You've got to just start somewhere.
But the good thing is that fear that I had at the beginning melted away.
Yeah.
So praise Lord.
Yeah. And that's a testimony to you. You don't have, but this, you can take this, don't, you start crying. She's going to start crying here. You can take that thing, and this is just a silly little bag, right? But you can take that, and it applies to absolutely everything in the Lord.
Amen.
You know, that, it's a bag. It's a bag for a bottle. I mean, the relevance of that in the big scheme of things is so insignificant.
That's why I've been telling myself all week I'm not dismantling a bomb.
Yeah.
Because it's just silliness that overtakes me, and I get lost in it.
Yeah.
No. Not doing that.
Rick.
Yeah, go ahead, James.
You know, when I get frustrated and then I stop being frustrated, what I really realize is that I've judged the Lord in the sense that he isn't able to accomplish what is at hand.
That's an extremely good point, James.
And it's a lack of faith when you're frustrated to believe that he is able to accomplish it. I mean, I know that's where it entirely boils down, or where my perspective needs to change is, he is able. And, you know, I always bring back my mom when she was selling her house and my grandmother was sick, is God didn't bring me this far to fail. And he brought her through it.
Amen, James.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, that's an extremely good point.
And you know, go ahead.
No, it just goes back to that part that when we are in that space, we are taking ourselves seriously.
Amen. And you don't know what you're going to, you were talking about, you didn't know what you're using Karen and doing, I guess, a bag or whatever the case may be. I don't know exactly what it was, but didn't know what kind of problems or what kind of issues that would pop up in the midst of that. And doing that, but it's an interesting thing when your eye is just single and to serve the Lord, and you talking about Karen going back to the Lord, and you realize that you're not able to do these things, and but he is, and what you do is you rely on him in all those things to get through it, and you have a faith in him in the midst of it, and I can relate to that. Because I don't know what my day is going to look like. I don't know what's going to pop up out of my day. By any means, so many things happen very fast. But the Lord is well able, and when it's neat because even in the midst, I mean, the Lord's so good. I mean, even in the midst of it, I can rely on have my. I just single on serving him throughout that whole day, and I can go to him through that whole day in the midst of that. And he'll show me things, and there's times where I'm not, where my eyes aren't on him, and things are going crazy, and I flipped upside down, and all these things, freaking out. And at the end of the day, I look, and I also see his faithfulness in the midst of all that. The day's over. And the place didn't burn down. And it got me through that day. Even though I was flipped all upside down. Didn't have to be. That was my own fault. Don't hear me wrong here. But it's just amazing how big his grace is, even in the midst of those things. In the midst of that.
Yep. Amen.
I mean, it's not a place where I encourage, you know, may sin that grace may abound. God forbid. No, that's not what I'm getting at. But it's like he pulls me out of a storm and has me look down and says, it's over. Look, you got through it. I got you through it. Get back in there. I'm here. You can count, rely on me. Go. Thank you, Lord. Now get your eyes on me. You know, I don't know.
He is utterly faithful.
Absolutely.
And long suffering.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And kind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, he's all the things we are not.
Absolutely.
In our carnal man, right?
Absolutely.
If we have the Spirit of God, and then we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, which is what? Love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And it's all those things that are the attributes of love. So Amen. Our carnal man is the opposite. But when we choose the right perspective, and we've put on that mind of Christ, and we've embraced the Spirit of God, then the love of God is what we walk in. And perfect love casts out fear, doubt, worry, all that other stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, Sue had a similar sewing epiphany experience a year or so ago.
You know what's amazing about this as you're talking about sewing, and I know I'm interrupting, is what the Lord's able to show you through sewing.
Yeah, I mean, but it's...
Lord's able to show you through... What the smallest things you do. Yeah, they're not big things, but what the Lord is able to teach you. And that just highlights more of his faithfulness. That show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. You do it when you're sowing. You do it when you're home. You do it when you're changing the oil on your car. I mean, there's many instances where little tiny projects the Lord has shown me things. And the biggest thing is that I can trust him.
Right. In those little tiny...
I can trust him and he's able, you know. Go ahead. I apologize.
Are you excited, Phil?
I am excited.
That's okay. You can.
That is a wonderful thing.
But if you can let him teach you in the small things, those principles, the same principles that Karen, you know, is working through with this sewing project, are the same principles that she can take to the next thing. And the next, God may give her something, she'll go, that's impossible. And he'll say, remember, I helped with the bag, you know.
He never has let me down so far, and I don't expect he ever will.
No, he won't. He will never.
It builds foundation, Rick.
Yeah. And that's a real, when you can have a confidence, not in your ability to accomplish it, but in God's ability to do it, you know, that's a confidence that is just, it's powerful. It's a powerful thing. And people don't understand it, you know. People don't understand how that works. It's just, people, I say, unbelievers, they don't understand how you can just trust God. And not in a naive sort of, what's the right word?
Pollyanna.
Well, I don't know. There's a particular word I'm looking for, and it's just escaping me. I need
blind
a big
faith.
Word. It's not blind faith. It's goodness. Maybe I'll think of it. But it's that presumption. There we go. It's not a presumptive faith, but it's just a confidence, because you know that it's sort of like David when he went to the creek to get the stones. You know, and he. When he went to talk to Saul about Goliath, what was he basing his, you know, his choice on? You guys remember?
It's based on his, and the confidence in what the Lord was able to do.
But he was also basing it on what the Lord had already done.
Oh, amen. That's right. The experience that he had with the bear and the lion.
That's right.
The sheep.
He said, you know, if the
amen.
Lord
that's a good point.
Gave me the power to overcome them, he'll give me the strength to overcome this guy. I mean, he went into that not in some naive, presumptive way, but he went in that with confidence in God's ability to accomplish that thing because it needed to be done.
A good amen. Example. Yeah,
and that is a very good example. And in the midst, what the other point of what David was doing in there is, see, David wasn't doing that for his own glory. He wasn't doing that for himself. He was doing that because the Philistine were defying the armies of the living God.
That's right.
So you could take these things. If you take these small things where the Lord works with you to teach you you can trust him, that you don't have to fret, you don't have to worry, you don't have to be afraid. I don't know how many of us here or that are either on this broadcast or are listening to this broadcast, but think of how many times the Lord's delivered you out of a financial situation.
Monthly.
You know, and if he does that, would he not do it with another thing? I mean, you know, why is it that we would want to compartmentalize God's ability to work with us or help us or deliver us? I mean, why would we want to, well, he'll do it here, but he won't do it over there? Really? You know, is that really our God? Is that the God we serve? Really? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, we couldn't get pregnant. Then we got pregnant. Told the doctor. Well, they checked my count and went, you know, what changed? I said, we got prayed for. He goes, that's nice, but really, what'd you do different? I don't know what to tell you. And that's one example. We went around this circle of friends here. You'd have many, many such stories. You're right, Rick.
I think the other, I don't know when it was, maybe it was last week, I was talking about doubt your doubts.
Yeah.
In some service. I don't remember. They all sort of go together. But doubt your doubts. You know, these things that are contrary to God, you talk about the diligence of not letting things stand and getting rid of that stuff that's contrary to the Word of God and contrary to your walk. You know, those doubts, those things that creep, they just, if you think for a moment, when that comes in or that thing happens or you're getting frustrated with that thing or you're, you know, whatever it is, if you just take a moment and say, stop, where does this fit with the Word of God? Where does this fit with the God I serve? And that which is contrary, you reject, and that which is complementary, you receive.
Right.
Amen. And drawing, just like David, drawing off his own experience of what the Lord has done. And it's so easy in the midst. If you can just stop and back up and put your eyes on him, because where you start doubting and all these things is you're looking, you're having that perspective, kind of going back to that perspective there, Rick. You're having that perspective of you're looking at it with your carnal mind. You're looking at an impossible situation or looking at how I can do this. You're looking at your ability, your strength, and all these things. And if we can just stop, put that off, and say, you know what? The Lord's got me through that. 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 The Lord's got me through that.
Maybe I'm not going to sweat this one.
Why am I giving place to this? This is nonsense to give place to this. And you know, it's
dead man on your back, unbelief rising up. Ain't no way around it.
But we don't have to let it rise up. We don't have to. Absolutely.
You put your boot on that thing. You know, I look at our friend, our brother James, out there in Georgia. And I got to tell you, James, I'm just thinking here in myself. If my dad told me, now I want you to go buy a bus and build an RV. I probably can't say on this broadcast the first thing that would come to mind. But it would be like, are you serious?
I hear what you're not saying.
There was an expletive in there? Are you kidding me? Now, back up a minute. Do I know how to run a screwdriver? Yes. Do I know how to run a saw? Yes. Do I know how to run wire? Yes. Do I know how to build an RV? No. But all those other tasks and all those other things, I know how to do that. Do I know that if that was given for me to do, that God would give me the strength and ability to do it, the knowledge to do it, or the people to help me with the knowledge I don't have to do it? Well, yeah, yes, he's been faithful in every other aspect of my life, so why wouldn't he be? Right. So the idea that because I may not in myself, quote, have the, quote, skill set to do it from soup to nuts or see the entire picture or see how it's all going to go together and have the perfect plan, who cares?
Cares. Amen.
Who cares?
Whose ability are you relying on?
Hang on. Amen.
Yeah, and when you are trusting, when I started the service this morning, gosh, you're talking about a day I didn't know what I was going to talk about. When I started the service this morning, it was everything we do is imperfect. There's not a perfect thing we can accomplish. Not a single thing.
That's right.
Let's start from there. And when we admit that there's not a single perfect thing we can accomplish in ourselves,
then why are we constantly looking at that?
Exactly. Why are we hung up about it?
Why does my tendency go to there?
But then that's where the Lord can move.
Right.
That's where he steps in and takes over when we step aside from ourselves and start looking to him.
And that perfect thing that does come of it, who gets the glory?
The Lord does. Jesus Christ.
And isn't it all about that?
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely.
Isn't it all about him getting the glory and not ourselves? When that thing comes together and it's like, wow, that's gorgeous. That really works.
It's just that scripture, abundantly above I can ask or think. It's like, this is far better than what I had in mind. Far better. This is amazing.
Well, guys, we have just enough time for the music to play just enough time for people to say one last thing, the music's to play, and then move on and let Texas come up. So if you guys want to wrap up or have any last things to say, go ahead and do that. James, I'll start with you.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Not here, Rick.
Okay. How about you, Phil?
Yeah. When that comes in, when I was talking about the doubt that sets in, I remember it's something. I remember the service that they had on Sunday about taking authority over that doubt and casting it out. And he was talking about I remember Steve talking about taking the devil and putting him up against the wall and saying no more. Right. And that's, we really need to be diligent to take that doubt and that old man and cast it down. Just like that. Give it no place at all.
Right.
Because Lord has so much better for us than that garbage.
And Brad,
I've been doing the last couple of weeks with you, Rick, and very nice to have you there, Karen.
Right.
Lord bless us all.
Karen?
The thing I learned this week goes back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And he did.
Amen. Well, guys, it's been a pleasure. I will kick this over, and you guys stay tuned for the Texas service, which is coming up at the top of the hour. This is Rick Euster and crew, Phil, Brad, James, and Karen for the Hour of Truth. Thank you guys for joining us today.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.